Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Joining us on the program today, we have Buki Masaku, the founder and CEO of London-based Diverse City Think Tank, a workplace bias and diversity and inclusion consultancy. He is one of the world's foremost bias navigation experts. Masaku has cracked the code for calling out unconscious workplace bias and stopping it in its tracks, which he details in his book, I Don't Understand Navigating Unconscious Bias in the Workplace. And Mr. Masaku, thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, certainly appreciate your time and looking forward to hearing from you in all regards. So first of all, you talk of career stifling unconscious bias in the workplace. Can you explain, to get things underway here today, what that's all about?
Yeah, so this is any, unconscious negative behavior that, you know, that stifles career progression, right? Stifles the way that you would normally enjoy and develop in the workplace. So you could have complex, I kind of split it into two areas. You have simple career stifling bias and complex career stifling bias. Now, simple career stifling bias is like what is commonly known as microaggressions. These are like subtle slights made to people because of where they're from or their difference or their accent or any number of different things, right? And these are unconscious or subtle slights, which can, over time, the accumulation of them can have a negative impact on well-being, on the staff members' well-being. So that's one element. And then you have the complex career stifling bias, complex unconscious career stifling bias. And this is the stuff, what I describe this as the stuff in between. This is the stuff that you can't put your hands on, right? But definitely you sense. So for example, you may feel that you're not allocated the glamorous projects in your firm, right? It's very difficult. And you may think that's because your face doesn't fit literally or figuratively, for example. It's very difficult to actually prove it, but you sense it. So that's the kind of career stifling, or you're not shortlisted for a job, you know, for a promotion. That's the complex career stifling bias. And so those are, if you like, that's what I mean by career stifling bias.
Certainly a great place to kick things off here today. Some great information. Thanks for that. Now, let me also get this straight. You talk of the importance of navigating bias in the workplace as opposed to what? What would be the difference there?
Yeah, eradicating it. So you see, a lot of organizations, when they try and deal with unconscious bias, right, they try and eradicate it. They unconsciously do this. They all say, oh, no, you can't eradicate it. But unconsciously, that's what they're doing. So what they will do is, let's say traditionally or typically, they will say, oh, there's this guilt. They subscribe to what I describe as a guilty perpetrator versus hapless victim model, where they're saying that there's these people who look a certain way, walk and talk a certain way. They are the guilty perpetrator. And there are these people who look a certain way, walk and talk a certain way, and they are the hapless victim. And they are at the mercy of the guilty perpetrator changing or being empathetic to their differences in order for them to be successful. So what happens then is that the traditional guilty perpetrator, who tends to be white, middle class, heterosexual, and male, with some females in there, the traditional perpetrator will work on themselves to make sure that they don't say the wrong thing or they're behaving in the right way in order to make the world and life of the minority better. But the problem with that is that that's actually trying to, when you try and self-correct, you're basically trying to eradicate something within you. That's another way of trying. You're trying to root out this original sin, if you like, from you. And that's a form of eradication. And the problem with that is that it sends a message to you as the traditional perpetrator that you're continuously guilty, right? And it sends a message to the minority or the traditional victim that the traditional perpetrator is constantly can't help themselves and is constantly trying to unconsciously trying to hold them, conspire to hold them back. And so this leads to this vicious cycle. And so I think trying to eradicate bias is ridiculous. What I think is better is accepting that we are all biased and there is a multi-directional nature to it. And if we accept that, then instead of trying to eradicate it, why don't we try and navigate it? Just like when a sailor tries to sail, there's rain, rough waves, and current, and all of these things, which can end their trip. But they still get to their destination. Millions do. How do they do that? They navigate those problems. They don't try and eradicate them because they know they don't have like celestial powers which can stop something which is definitely going to happen. Does this make sense?
It certainly does make sense, and some solid insight and feedback coming from you in all regards. Now, an overarching message and theme in the book is that strategies for tackling workplace bias based on unidirectional views of the problem are creating a diversity and exclusion nightmare. Can you unpack that?
Yeah, so look, what I'm saying is there's this kind of a view of unconscious bias as being a one-way street. So that's what I mean by unidirectional. It's like I said, these people who look a certain way, walk and talk a certain way, they are the guilty perpetrator in terms of workplace bias. And then you have these people who look a certain way and walk and talk a certain way, and they are the hapless victim. But the reality is, yes, there are unconscious biases from the traditional perpetrator, who tends to be middle class, heterosexual, you know, and so on, and white, male, right? There are biases from that direction. But also, there are biases from the other side. So if I misinterpret, let's say you are my boss, right, Eric, and you make a decision which is towards me, which is unfavorable because maybe I'm not good at my job, or maybe somebody else was better doing it, or for any number of reasons, right? I misinterpret that as driven by unconscious bias, then that becomes my bias. So I become the perpetrator and you become the victim in that moment, right? But the problem with organizations today is they don't recognize that. They just say that bias is one way. And I'm saying workplace bias is a two-way street, not a one-way street. If I as a minority can misinterpret a decision from you, a majority member, as driven by unconscious bias. When I misinterpret it, what's that misinterpretation based on? Well, it's based on my past experience. It's based on hearsay about the majority, and it's based on a wider narrative about the majority as well, right? All of those things are conditioned views, which is unconscious bias. So that becomes my bias. And in the moment, I become the perpetrator. But nobody wants to allow that. And the reason nobody wants to talk about that, and the reason why they don't want to talk about that, is because they don't want to seem unsympathetic to the equality cause. But the irony is that by not accepting the multi-directional nature of bias, you are saying that we are different. But we're all the same. We all have biases, and we all have the propensity to be biased to each other. So once we recognize that, then we can look to address it. But if we don't recognize it, all the solutions that we come up with will fail. And you just need to look at representation figures, the Fortune 500, to see that.
Really do appreciate your visit with us here today. And I think you're hitting on a topic that most people don't stop and think about, the bias that exists. The unconscious workplace bias, that is. Today we're speaking with Buki Masaku, the founder and CEO of London-based Diverse City Think Tank, a workplace bias and diversity and inclusion consultancy. His new book is I Don't Understand, Navigating Unconscious Bias in the Workplace. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, can you explain the multidirectional nature of unconscious workplace bias?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that question. It's a good question, right? Basically, there are two forms of bias, right? There are two forms. This is what people don't understand, or rather, people haven't taken the time to understand. There are two forms of bias. The first form is what I describe as directional bias. That's the one that we all know. That's towards you because of your race and ethnicity, your gender, your sexual orientation, your age, and so on, or your class. That's directional bias. And that's typically from the majority, whoever that majority is. That's unconsciously directed at the minority. But there's also, and this is the second form of bias, reverse bias. Reverse bias is where I misinterpret behavior, when I misinterpret unfavorable decisions towards me as driven by unconscious bias. And as I said earlier, that becomes my bias, right? So there are two forms of bias. So if we want to address unconscious bias, right, we need to equip people with skills to navigate both forms of bias, not one form of bias, both forms of bias, because bias is multidirectional in the workplace. And this is the problem that people don't want to accept, or at least, sorry, not that they don't want to accept. They're not able to see because they're subscribed to this guilty perpetrator versus hapless victim model, that there are certain people who look a certain way, walk and talk a certain way, they are the guilty perpetrator, and there are certain people who look a certain way and walk and talk a certain way, and they are the hapless victim. Now, that might be potentially, you could argue, more so outside of work. But in the workplace, right, there are two forms of bias. So hopefully that explains the multidirectional nature. And once we accept that, and here's the good news, once we accept the multidirectional nature, we're accepting that we're the same. But in terms of navigating it, whenever I sense bias towards me, I will allow for my misinterpretation. And if I can allow for my misinterpretation, I can navigate it. And the way to navigate multidirectional bias is to simply say, I don't understand. We call that dispassionate developmental inquiry.
And which happens to be the title of your book, I Don't Understand. It's absolutely the perfect title for it as well. Now, you talk of organizations and people in general needing to unsubscribe from the guilty perpetrator versus hapless victim model if they want to effectively navigate bias. Explain this further.
Yeah, because when you subscribe to this model, you're basically, you know, I'll try and say this in the softest way possible, you're demonizing one set of people and you're demeaning another set. So you're saying that if you say that there are a certain set of people who can't help themselves, and because of things that have happened in the past, tied into a system designed to hold other people back, that if you say that people by default, because of that, we'll make decisions based on bias. If you say that, right, and then you say that there are these other people who are reliant on those traditional perpetrators to change in order for them to improve their careers, then what you've got is a situation where the majority are constantly trying to correct themselves to appease minorities who are hapless victims. All that does is maintain a ridiculous status quo, that minorities will see the majority as guilty perpetrators and they will see themselves as hapless victims. Why not equip both the majority and the minority with skills to navigate the inevitability of bias, right? And then you move away that problem. But until you do that, until you accept the multidirectional nature of workplace bias, you'll always subscribe to this guilty perpetrator, this one-way view, one-way street view of unconscious bias. And this is the model that virtually every organization, all the business schools in the States and around the world are following. And the problem is, it's not working. There's an underrepresentation of minorities because the people that you're actually trying to help when you follow that model are excluded from doing anything. So they have to sit on their hands and wait for the majority to change in order for them to improve. And I'm saying, no, equip them with the skills and equip. So in essence, if I'm biased towards you, Eric, you should be able to call me out. And if you're biased towards me, I should be able to call you out. And if we do that, we'll dissipate the problem. But at the moment, we're saying that it's only one way, that the problem is only coming from one direction. And so we need to look at that. And subscribing to the guilty perpetrator hapless victim model stops us from navigating the multidirectional nature of workplace bias.
Totally makes sense. And you certainly make some strong, strong points here. And what is in place right now isn't working. This seems to be the road to solutions for sure. And again, we really appreciate all you're doing. In all regards here, as we have been talking about unconscious workplace bias. Now, as we conclude today, and lastly, listeners may be thinking, okay, so the next time I sense career stifling bias, what do I do? Can you leave them with something or some tips or advice in those regards as we conclude today?
Of course I will. All right. So here's what you do. Like, I'm going to give you the edited highlights version. There are four steps, right? I'm going to give you four steps that you can use to navigate sensed bias, whichever side of the table you're on. Step one is mindset. Set your mindset. What that means is leave all the baggage, right, at the door. That is racial bias baggage, gender bias baggage, sexual orientation baggage. You got to drop it. You got to leave it at the door, right? For any number of reasons, right? Because, well, there are many reasons, but the number one reason, as far as our process is concerned, is the only way that you can get to step two. So step one is leave all the baggage at the door, right? So that is
all the past hurt, everything
you've heard, just drop it, right? You can pick it up on the way out, but leave it at the door, right? And the reason why you have to leave it at the door is because it's the only way that you can get to step two. So the question then becomes, well, what is step two? And step two is to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Whenever you sense bias, just give the person the benefit of the doubt, right? But here's the rub. Here's the difficult bit. Call it out anyway. So step one, leave the baggage in the lobby. Leave the baggage at the door. Step two, give everybody the benefit of the doubt. So, you know, call them out anyway. How do you call them out? You move to step three and you simply say these three powerful words. I don't understand. We call that engaging in dispassionate developmental inquiry, right? And when you turn I don't understand into a question, more beautiful things happen, right? You invoke what I describe as our natural propensity to give direction. So when you say, oh, I don't understand, the person will say one of two things. What don't you understand? Right? And or they'll say to you, well, let me explain. And suddenly now you're into a sticky conversation around sensed bias, which you wouldn't have been in otherwise. So the key then is to focus, stay on that dispassionate, developmental, I don't understand type questioning. Right? So we've looked at three steps. Step one is set your mindset, leave the baggage at the door. Step two, give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but call them out. Step three, how do you call them out? Use dispassionate developmental inquiry. In other words, say, I don't understand. And what you're going to find is when you follow that approach, one of four things is going to happen. Either the bias that you sense will call itself out, but it's either the person's bias towards you or your bias towards them. Or what will happen is that something that was totally fair that you didn't think of calls itself out, right? And so you can deal with that. Or something that neither you or the other person actually considered calls itself out. And that's why you were on the receiving end of what you perceive to be an unfavorable decision. And then what you can do is move to step four and collaboratively agree next steps. So very simple. Step one, set your mindset, right? Drop the baggage, right? Baggage that you have every right to be holding, right? But you need to drop it, right? Step two, give the person the benefit of the doubt, but call them out anyway. How do you call them out? Engage in dispassionate developmental inquiry, right? Tell them that you don't understand. When you engage in DDE, dispassionate developmental inquiry, telling them that you don't understand, you invoke the person's natural instinct to give direction, right? That is, they'll say, what don't you understand? Or let me explain. And suddenly now you're in a conversation around a sticky conversation around bias. And as long as you stay in that I don't understand type questioning, you're going to find you're going to unearth bias, yours or theirs. And then you can collaboratively agree next steps with that person. Very simple.
Really do appreciate the thorough coverage here today. Of course, again, we've been speaking with Buki Masaku. He is the author of his new book, I Don't Understand, Navigating Unconscious Bias in the Workplace. Where can listeners get more information on yourself and also on the book and even the best place that you recommend to pick up the book as well?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say it's out today, guys. So don't delay. But you can get information about me on bukimasaku.com, BUKIMOSAKU.com. Or you can go to, and this is really helpful for any organizations or team leaders or HR listening, go to navigatingbias.com. And there's a free assessment tool there which really shows you if your organization, your company is using to what extent you're using the right approach to address career stifling bias. So those are two things that you can do to find out more. And of course, it's on Amazon.
And as always, listeners, we'll include these links within the show notes of this broadcast for your convenience. Mr. Masaku, all the best. And again, we thank you for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, it's been a pleasure, and I'm grateful.
Hey, we thank you. And we've been speaking with Buki Masaku, the founder and CEO of London-based diversity think tank, a workplace bias and diversity and inclusion consultancy. His new book is I Don't Understand Navigating Unconscious Bias in the Workplace. And for all the details, visit BukiMasaku.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.